Catch up with the entire season of Pandora anytime on the CW app or download it on iTunes. You can also watch Pandora in Canada on the Space Channel. Hey, this is Mark A. Altman, showrunner and executive producer of Pandora, and welcome to another episode of Unboxing Pandora. I'm here with composer Joe Kramer.
Hello.
And director Jen Wexler.
Hey.
For episode 106, what was it you wanted?
What was it you wanted?
You think I would know? They're all based on Bob Dylan songs, and I named them, so it's like, sometimes it makes it difficult. I like the poetry of the Bob Dylan titles. As I've talked about on other podcasts, it's like I hate episodes of TV that are like The Shoot, The Enemy. Just these really bland titles. So it's like, I like Sitting on It Forever and Requiem for Methuselah and stuff like that. So it's like, what could be more poetic than Bob Dylan? So anyway, we're going to take a look at the episode. So stay tuned for some great audio commentary. And I know they say you should love all your children equally, but this is one of my favorites, I have to tell you. So get ready and we'll find out what was it you wanted. Here we go. The previously on, the bane of our existence. So, Jen directed this episode, and she had just done a very beloved indie horror feature called The Ranger.
Yep.
It was interesting because Tom Vitale, who's one of our executive producers, who's one of my partners in crime on this, when we were looking for who was our directors for the first season, he said, "Oh, you should take a look at The Ranger and meet Jen because I think she'd be really great for the show." And of course, Jen's based out of New York and we're in LA, so we talked for a while and it seemed like totally the right fit for the show and would bring something special. And this is very challenging episode in the sense that not in terms of they're not the space battles and things like that, but obviously Benita has to go to some very uncomfortable places in this episode, and I think it's because I always I talk about the beginning of the season being a bunch of really focusing on our characters more than the mythology of the show. So and this was sort of Pilar's episode. And I knew very early on I sort of wanted to do a metaphor, an allegory for date rape on campus because unfortunately it's something that is all too prevalent in college today. So I thought this was a really interesting way to sort of use the lens of science fiction to look at something, really contemporary. When did you first hear about the show? I mean, when we first talked.
Yeah, I think I was chatting with Tom Vitale a little bit about it, and then he introduced us. And I read the pilot, and I loved it. I mean, I was a huge Buffy the Vampire Slayer fan when I was, younger. So I definitely...
Nothing wrong with that.
I was obsessed with it. And there's definitely a lot of, thematic things I appreciated in reading the pilot and then later reading this episode that I was instantly, mega fan, and I just really wanted to get into this world.
I'm so glad you said that because, it's like I talk a lot about the influence of Star Trek and Star Wars and stuff on the show. But, Buffy actually was a huge influence on this. It's really how, it starts where, Buffy arrives and she doesn't know anybody in Sunnydale. And then basically, what the hell is that? Oh, my God. It's an emergency.
Oh, no.
No, I guess I sat on it and it was like, I don't know. So sorry about that.
In London, if you're in a recording session and a player's phone goes off, they're instantly fined like 250 pounds.
Yeah, oh, wow.
That's good. It's so, like quite not allowing
phones on set.
I'll take
that in cash.
Yeah. and how ultimately the Scooby Gang, they can achieve anything because they stick together, and it's when the friendship fractures that things go awry. And so that to me was a big part of it. I just love the characters. In fact, we had tried for Osborne. One of the people who was on our short list was
Oh, really?
Tony.
Yeah, Heald.
Anthony Heald. Yeah.
Oh, that was cool.
And of course we cast Charisma in the final episode. So
yeah.
Obviously we're all huge Buffy fans. And I remember it was really funny because Charisma came to set, and I'm like, this is Charisma Carpenter from Buffy. I mean, this is exciting. And the kids, how much they're like, what's Buffy?
Oh my God, it's so sad.
So sad.
Heartbreak.
And it's like, well, she was also an angel.
Oh my God.
Right.
If I had been on set that day, I would have completely nerded out, fangirled out completely.
Yeah, now this is the military academy.
Yeah.
which where we shot a lot of the classroom scenes. And the other stuff was at Sophia University, but this was the classroom we used at and it's interesting place. I mean, it doesn't look as run down on camera as it is in real life, but this place is really falling apart.
Well, it was really cool seeing the difference of the aesthetics, the Soviet era buildings and then the pre-Soviet buildings. This was one of the pre-Soviet buildings.
Mm-hmm. The pre-Soviet buildings are so beautiful, and this is the one that also has Reagan's office, which used to be the head of the military academy's office back in the day before the Soviet occupation. And then the Soviet architecture is so ugly, mm-hmm, and so brutalist and so unpleasant.
Is anything a soundstage, like Osborne's house or stuff like that?
Yeah.
Osborne's house.
It is a soundstage.
Yeah.
Okay.
That was actually one of my favorite sets. I love shooting in that set.
Me too.
They did a great job on that.
I love that set. And it's like our least futuristic set.
But right, that's him.
To me, it's like the college dean or somebody like that would live. You know how they have a house on campus?
Yeah.
It would probably be a house that's been on campus for 300 years.
Prestige.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I love how he's so into books and everything. Like, it's just lovely, and it says a lot about his personality, obviously.
I like how all the books have corners. They're not cut off.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like Galactica.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, and I think, it's interesting because I feel like Benita was very nervous. Benita's worked a lot in India. She has a huge social following. But this was a real challenge. She was getting to do some heavy lifting.
I loved working with Benita. We had a whole lunch where we went through the script together. We went through every single line, every single emotional beat, and we kind of developed our own language. And then when we were on set, we just could, with everything going on set, we could just hone in on the specific emotion that we had to get.
Yeah, and I think she's terrific in this. And I kept telling her, too. She's calling. She was very nervous. It's like, how are Daly's looking? I'm like, they're looking really good. Am I good? It's like, yeah. You know.
She's so good. She's so great. I love her so much. I mean, the whole cast is wonderful, but it was really cool just getting to, have Pilar shine in this.
And it's interesting because, as I mentioned, she was finishing work on another movie, so she was traveling a lot, so she didn't necessarily bond as much with the cast. Not that they didn't all get along, but it was that she was always traveling. She wasn't hanging out with them as much because she was going back to India and England and stuff, but she had to finish these other projects. So this was really, where she was around and she was present and just really, and here, Ask K. Kumar, who plays Chet.
So
oh, my
good.
God.
Love him.
We loved him. He's so just unlikably likable.
Yeah. And I think he has a dance background, too, which came in handy later on when we did some fun hallway racing stuff.
Yeah, I really, just a really nice guy. Obviously, I only talked to him by phone because I wasn't in Sofia when you shot this. He's just so lovely and was so supportive of the show.
Yeah, great attitude and personality. This was a fun moment to shoot. You want to capture nudity, but it's the CW, so you can't really show everything. So it's how do you do this creatively?
Yeah, I thought this was very clever. And at the same time, it was the bane of our existence in post because little things would peek out and it's some VFX we had to do to cover some things and just, and not just nudity, but the stuff that was covering the nudity.
Right.
So it was, and CW is surprisingly chaste in terms of what you can show compared to maybe some other implying sort of silhouettes and stuff. So it was very challenging. And we also didn't want it to come across in any way purient, that the audience should be, horrified that she's being exploited and taken advantage of. And, we don't want people sitting there leery,
Yeah.
It's just, and I just feel it's a very uncomfortable moment, which is exactly what we want.
It was fun to do music for this episode because I tend to start from a place of an orchestra because it's just, it's a sound I really like. And it's fun to combine with that a virtually, almost entirely synthesized sound for Pilar.
Ooh, I love that.
Because of her connection to the data stream
and
the bio implants, the technology. And so I think there's a few moments in this episode where she's being hacked into, where I tried to sort of create almost a chaotic synthesized texture that merged with the orchestral
You know, it's human so funny you say that. I had a bunch of stuff on my Sonos on random, right? And I'm listening to music, and it's a bunch of big, you know, movie scores and stuff. And I hear this piece. I'm like, this is really good. What's it from? And I said, Alexa, you know, whatever you know, what is that? And they go, Pilar from Pandora, original television sound. I'm like, I didn't even I'm like, wow, that's really good.
That's really cool. I think that says something.
And that was, it was a lovely collaboration with Penka on this episode, too, because the Pilar theme actually, I think, was first introduced in episode 2, I think, when she and Oliver are trying to track down where Jax has gone.
Yeah.
And so she had come up with that sort of rhythmic, pulsing texture and then a theme that played over it. And then I would take that and then reorchestrate it for live instruments at different points throughout the series. And it was fun to take something that I would create and watch her run with it and go back and forth with our material.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
This moment was fun. Our AD was just underneath the frame pulling down her shirt.
Oh, and yeah. And you had Sylvia. Sylvia.
I loved her. She's
sweetheart.
So lovely.
Sylvia is a really nice woman. Did a great job. One of our AD team.
She was like my AD also for life in Bulgaria. She like, we would go to a restaurant and she would translate everything for me. She was wonderful.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Does he have any body fat at all?
Not an iota. You know, it's a good thing he only had to work a couple of days an episode because he had to spend the rest of the time in the gym.
Yeah.
Perhaps one of the nicest people on the planet, Martin. See, this was really tough special effects wise because we wanted to see kind of like the hologram where it would be like a silhouette of her full body, but we couldn't because the network was very concerned about how we would see her, even
there
though she's
is.
Covered by data.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and kind of blown out a little bit by light.
It was really challenging in terms of the visual effects, how this would work. You know, and this sort of goes against my whole positive view of the future. It's like, oh, boy, these people are such scumbags.
That's college, though. They don't know any better yet.
That's right. Well, they should know better, right?
I know.
With her outfit, with that yellow shirt, Benita and I talked a lot about, like, every single scene that she's in, I think that the outfit is kind of thematic of what she's going through.
Mm.
And with that, it was that, you know, she just had this really tragic thing where she was nude at the black hole, and then the next day she's like, I'm going to be so confident today. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to wear my brightest outfit. Nobody can bring me down. And then she walks in that shirt, and then, like, it's the worst thing that could possibly happen to you, and she's standing out and super bright.
No, I think that's a great instinct. And speaking of great instincts, I remember you calling me and saying, how would you feel if I had Raylan in a birthday hat? And I'm like, that sounds fun. And I think you were a little surprised. And you shot, it's so funny. It was such a great idea. And I love that whole birthday scene. And Priscilla looks amazing in that dark lipstick.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned Nimoy in another one of our discussions about the show with Raylan. But you'd never see Spock in a party hat. You know what I mean?
I always tried to go against what Spock would be. Because, you know, look, I always say he's like, you know, our hot Spock. But using that as sort of a shorthand for he's like the alien who doesn't fit in and who's different. But you know, I try and whenever make sure he's nothing like Spock.
And I like that. I think
so
that's
he gets
great.
Very emotional. Like when he fights, he like totally becomes
passionate.
Yeah, he's passionate. He's not unemotional. He's passionate, and you know he's
Those
trying
glasses.
To he's trying to embrace Earth culture. Like here, he's like trying to get it. I've never been to a party. What is that like?
Yep.
So, you know, in that sense, he's nothing like Spock.
Well, it's so cool how him.
This
and
is so great.
Oh
the uncomfortable thing with the hug, and
then she just shoves her.
Yeah.
It's so cool how, like, Atria also is so excited to plan this party because of her background.
Yes, and then she's giddy about, like, the whole idea. And she also feels like, oh, this is going to bring Jax and Xander closer together. Now, we cut the scene where they talk about the wasabi.
Oh, yeah.
This was actually based on something that happened to Martin early on. We all went out to dinner, and he ordered, you know, he had sushi, and... He dipped it in what he thought was, forget what it was. He didn't know it was wasabi.
Like an avocado or
something? Yeah, he thought it was avocado sauce. And then he puts it in, and everybody's like, wait, no. And it was like,
tears.
And it was like, and he was like, that was not good.
That's hilarious.
It was like, it was wasabi. And so we actually had that scene in here, and it was just like, you know, it just, the episode was long, and it just didn't.
It was fun playing with, like, them being into each other but not wanting to show it too much.
I love that because this, to me, is like, it's Cheers, it's Moonlighting, it's a million shit. Yeah, Castle, it's like, you know.
X-Files.
X-Files, yeah. And we were really trying to hold off on having them together as long as we could. And it was, you know, it was definitely one thing where, you know, I think the network really wanted, because, you know, and I understand the CW, you know, the audience wants to see that consummated sooner than maybe we would have liked. But I think where we ended up, everybody was really happy. I mean, by the time we get to the prom episode, it worked out really well. But this is great because you can see that, like, there's this incredible chemistry between the two of them, but they're refusing to, or at least she's refusing to acknowledge it.
Had you decided any of that stuff from the beginning? Or was it something that you thought maybe with casting and evolution of the show
I knew pretty much from the beginning.
Okay, yeah.
That's why when everybody fell in love with Jax and Greg, I was a little worried, especially knowing that Greg was going to die.
And spoiler alert, but was his return planned from the beginning?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, we always joked about it. You know, he was having such a good time shooting those first three episodes. He's like, I'd like to come back. I said, well, we'd like to have you back. So at that point, it was like, oh, we'll bring Greg back. But we had never planned on bringing Greg back because I hate that in sci-fi.
Right.
I you know, it's like once you have the death, it's like, you know, live with that, you know, because, you know, don't just
the Emperor.
Don't bring Spock back. Don't bring the Emperor back. You know, it's like. I mean, here also, I think, you know, obviously working with the prop master would be very challenging. Because, like, what is it she's taking apart? What is it?
Yeah.
Also, because I'm sure in the future, all this stuff would be so microscopic.
Totally.
You would never see any of this.
Totally.
But you have to have something to shoot.
And we wanted just to create chaos. So, like, there's all these clothes that are strewn about. We kind of just wanted you to be able to imagine, like, what she was going through before Jax walked in. I love this episode, too, because there's, like, such strong female friendship throughout the episode. I mean, throughout the show, totally. But this is, like, a really great, you know, this showcases their friendship so well. And, like, all the different stages. And this scene was really cool to shoot because it's, like, Pilar has been so reserved and has just acted throughout the series up to this point. Like, she doesn't need anybody. And then this was, like, a really, this was, like, her first moment of opening up to somebody. And that was just really cool to get into with Benita.
And that is interesting because that's one of the things when I saw all the data on, like our show does really, really well with teenage girls, you know, and one of the things I wanted to do with the show was that sci-fi, space shows in particular, tend to skew very old male, you know, to people like Joe and I. Because, you know, we grew up on Star Trek, we love that, but, like, that's not the audience that I thought would make it a success on CW. And I wanted this to be the gateway drug to a younger audience to sci-fi and space. And so, like, I think it's those strong female friendships that really resonate with and have brought in a whole new audience that wouldn't necessarily watch a sci-fi space show, and it's great. And I think it's why also maybe sometimes, you know, there might be a backlash by certain people who are older who have certain expectations who don't like the fact that it's, you know.
Doctor Who's going through the same thing with Jodie Whittaker. You know, there's a big part of their audience that's not what they're expect from a science fiction
show. Which is
show.
So ridiculous. I think the idea
she's
of having
awesome.
A female companion is great. Of course he would, you know,
she's the
regenerate.
Doctor now.
She's the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I meant.
Yeah,
I mean,
sorry.
Not a female companion. I mean, the fact that having a female doctor is so brilliant because, of course, he would regenerate into at some point, you know.
It's funny, again, just thinking about the show and our discussions, she's almost... What's nice about this episode is it's the first time we see her really be emotional. She has sort of been more Spockish, closed down emotionally.
And that's why in the first couple episodes I told her, don't be afraid of being sort of bitchy and being cold and narcissistic and self-involved, because Six is going to change everything for you. And I want you, you may feel like, oh, my God, I'm going to lose the audience. They're not going to like me. I'm unlikable. It's like, that's okay, because eventually... You know, you're on this journey where you're going to warm up. And in most cases, I wouldn't tell the actors where they were going, because in life, you don't know where you're going. So it's like they were, you know, had no idea. Like, you know, Raylan had no idea he was married, and a lot of this, they didn't know what was going to happen. But with Pilar, I did tell her, I said, look, there's an episode coming up which is going to deal with, because also I wanted to make sure she was comfortable, because there is implied nudity. She has to go to some really dark places. And, I didn't want to spring it on her, seven days before we shot. So she knew that this was coming up, and she was really excited about the challenge of it.
Jen, how was it for you working like with these neon bars, the lights and stuff like that?
I love it. I love these, and I also loved In the Black Hole, the lights in the black hole, because it just gives the whole set like an extra little something to play with in terms of dimension of the space.
My is not about the Astero tubes, which are the I like those.
Yeah.
It's the dorm room is a very tight set with some really bad sound.
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan of that set. It's not has nothing to do with the lighting, because Max has made it look better than it possibly.
Oh yeah, no,
or should. But the tubes are great. I mean, they're our best friend.
It was interesting though, looking at that space and being like, okay, how can we keep this interesting? Mm. How can we move the camera around it and place them in? You know,
I like that it's angles. That does, as a viewer, mm-hmm. the angles keep it interesting for me. You know, that it's not just a square.
You spent a lot of time in that. There's a lot of. It was tough because this was kind of our bottle show. And so there's a lot of scenes in the dorm room, which is a very, thankless room to shoot in. And, you're very creative about trying to find ways to make that interesting. I love all this. I mean, this is the big chase.
Oh, this is so fun.
Oh, this is.
I like Amy Irving from Carrie. Always lurking.
Oh, It's totally Amy Irving from Carrie.
For this shot, we put a Steadicam on a motorcycle.
Oh, wow.
And drove up and down the hallway. It was so fun.
And what's funny about that is Steve Crozier, the other executive producer, was here the whole time, is that every episode ever that, he loved the motorcycle, the moped so much. He's like, maybe we can shoot this on a moped, just like we did on 106. And it's like, no, it has nothing to do with the shot. No, but it'd be really cool. It's like, I remember we got to 112, and it's like there was a scene where they're running. It's like, can we use the moped? And we're like, finally. It was like, yeah, we're going to use the moped. Yes, yeah. I knew we could. It's like a kid.
It's like cruise
Christmas.
On Mission Impossible.
Can
I jump off a plane?
I love this interrogation thing.
Yeah.
This is just so much fun. And we get to see, Raylan being kind of a badass. And this is the episode that really humanizes Vikash's character of Shral as well. Because you think he's just an ass, you realize that he's like really protective of the kids. Which I love that. I know. And Vikash is just wonderful.
Oh, he's so great.
And that pays off really well in the finale, too.
Yeah, with the knife coming out of the.
Well, that's where the knife in the finale in 12 came from, because you needed the cane for this episode for him to trip, because it was in the script.
Right.
And then you found this great cane with the sword inside. And it's like the second we saw that, we're like, oh, well, that's perfect. This is coming back.
Yes.
We had the scene in 12 the second we saw that prop. Right. That prop totally informed that scene.
And then when he shows up on Hypatia.
Oh, yeah.
To help rescue them.
Oh, I was walking around when I was directing 113. There were two of them. So I took the second one. I thought I was like trying to be Howard Hawks and Willie Waller. And I was walking around with the walking stick with the cane with the sword. And then finally, I don't think we should let Mark walk around with the sword and the cane. We'll just give him the one without the sword.
That's so funny. most of this episode is shot either on dolly or Steadicam, but this sequence is all handheld.
Is that a contact lens? That wasn't a VFX, right?
Yeah.
How were the actors with that?
He was great. I mean, he was great with everything we put him through. We're like, do the Tom Cruise slide. And he's like, no problem.
He's such a worm. He's so funny.
It's also because you hired somebody who's very handsome.
I rarely do that with dailies. There are two people I did that this season with. When I watched dailies and I actually called the actors or emailed the actor. It was him I called to say, oh, my God, you're killing it. You're great. I just want to let you know. And then I did the same thing with Amy, who played Mata, the Raylan's wife.
Yeah, she's awesome too.
And I was like, oh my God, I just want you to know.
And this is one of her first jobs, I think, looking on IMDb.
Well, she was in the Game of Thrones pilot that didn't go, the spinoff.
Well, she's great in this.
But it's great for us because we want to have her back.
But it's great to have a villain who's handsome rather than
totally.
With a scar or something nasty,
Well, it is the CW.
But, I mean, it works because you're sort of attracted and repulsed at the same time. It creates this conflict in the viewer.
Oh, yeah. No,
absolutely. And you have some sympathy because this guy's just trying to fit in. You know, it is that college thing. He's trying to find his clique. And he fell in with the wrong people. You know, maybe if he fell in with a different group, he wouldn't be such an ass. And he's just too weak to resist being bad.
Yeah, when will we have the Below Decks episode where, you know, we see the clique from the outside?
This whole show is Below Decks.
No, you know
the
what I mean, though. You know,
the premise of the show is instead of following the captain and the military, we're following the cadets.
That's true. But I meant in terms of, you know, the group that isn't our main cast and seeing them from the outside.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, if when they but need a rest, we'll need a break. We'll do that episode.
I think we can all relate with this scene wherein, because we're all addicted to our phones.
Well, that's totally what this was. I mean, Lisa, who wrote this, and I talked a lot about this and made sure that this was a big part of it, that, you know, being away from the data stream and not having access, it was totally just like, you can't have your phone. You can't be on your phone. It's a bad influence on you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, somebody's going to, you know, put those naked pictures on your phone up on the internet.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a real, and as a writer, I think it's a real plot killer when you have in your pocket access to answers to any question, all sorts of technology, you know.
Well, you know, having done so many horror movies, I can't imagine what a challenge it is. You know, you look at the great movies of the 70s. I mean, how much, you know, Halloween would have been 10 minutes if Laurie Strode had
a
cell phone.
Absolutely. That's always the challenge. You're like, okay, what are we doing with the phones in this movie?
And I like the idea that we didn't give you the horror episode. Like, we did the quote-unquote zombie episode. We did the zombie episode. But it's the deadly virus that's turning people into berserkers. You know, I like the fact that, you know, you having done so much horror that you get to do sort of the more character-based, you know, the horror is the behavior of the humans.
Totally. There's a lot of emotional horror in this episode. And kind of, like, later on, I wanted to get more into, like, a paranoid thriller kind of feeling.
I love that, too. Some of my favorite stuff is what will come up later. And it's so funny because there are a couple of shots, too, that you were really adamant that you wanted to keep that I put in that the network wanted to take out. And I was really just because I totally knew what you were going for, that kind of Frankenheimer in seconds and Parallax View and all that stuff. And it was like, oh, and it's like they really hung up on, like, the point of view of the characters and that we wouldn't see that. And I'm like, you know, but the whole idea is to go for this kind of conspiracy thriller thing.
Right.
It was not my hill to die on, but I totally love that you were doing that.
Well, we got it. We got the footage, just in case.
It was fun musically to tighten that rope at the end when she's going to jump off the ledge.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and to have, like, the germ of her theme and then to... as she's sort of going crazy, it's this cyclical thing that just keeps building and building and repeating over and over again.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, conspiracy, thriller... sort of a trick of the trade, tool of the trade when you're scoring those kind of stories.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny, too. I probably shouldn't say this in the commentary, but I'm going to anyway. You know, that this is the episode about your addiction to phones. Because if any actor on set was addicted to their phone, it was Benita. So.
Well, I would imagine with her having to go back and forth and having unfinished projects that she was probably like, oh, you know, who's calling me now? What do they need from me now somewhere else?
But also it was method because she had to, like, be in the – it's like she's on the data stream all the time.
I think she was just checking Instagram, but that's okay. Look, she was great, and she did such a wonderful job, and I'm a big fan of hers. So I will tell tales out of school in this case.
Well, she earned it. She turned in the performance, so you can't criticize her.
No, she totally
method.
Delivered it. And I mean, even when we were cutting, she was calling, and she's like, you know, it was okay. And
have you,
like,
ever talked about the pictures on the wall of the black hole?
I haven't really talked about them. I mean, you know, it's supposed to be the history of space flight and all that stuff, and it wasn't quite what I had in mind, but conceptually it was, you know.
That was a cool idea.
It was a cool idea.
It reminds me of when Decker's giving Ilea the tour of the Enterprise.
Yeah,
not
should.
In a derivative way, but,
no,
you know,
but
an homage.
You know, I came up with the idea before I realized that it was, like, basically the similar kind of idea to what, Star Trek the Motion Picture.
Not hacky.
This is so funny because I remember in 103 there's a mention of Raylan's roommate who was gone, And so when they shot the entire, they taken the whole bed out and they taken everything. And we couldn't use it because it was totally wrong. So we were very specific. No, no. When she's gone, it's just the mattresses stripped. The bed and the desk are still there.
Yes. Something that Priscilla and I talked about is just like Jax feels even more like this is so important to help Pilar because she feels so bad about what happened with Thomas mm-hmm. in the last episode. So that's kind of driving her as well.
That's good. And I think it totally comes across too.
Were you able to go to Sophia while they were shooting? Did you shoot in order?
Yeah.
Yeah. So order. Were you there while they were doing five?
Yeah. And it was really, I think I came in when they were doing four. And it was great I came that early because just dealing with the time change, I needed a couple of days before I could really
was
get
it 10
into
hours?
Prep.
Yeah, well, from New York, it would have been about 7 or 8.
Yeah, it was still, like, pretty
drastic.
It's
a brutal trip. Yeah. And there's no nonstops, so you're connecting. So you could be in a connecting airport for hours. Now, look at it. I love that Dolly move and the transition. Because now we're, of course, you've all seen the episode, we're into fakey world.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, it was so great hearing the actors after they read the script for the first time. I was reading it. I'm thinking, I'm so out of character. Why is this happening? What is going on? And then it's like, oh, my God, this is so... And they loved playing... This is so next generation. Whenever they would get to play, like, the villainous version of themselves, it's like they love playing asshole versions of themselves.
Yeah.
And they're all so good at it, too.
They're so good. It was fun working with them, getting to see them, like, go to that place.
I love this. This episode originally ended with, like... There was, like, some kind of live fire exercise, and she was, like, walked into a live fire exercise, and I was like, we kind of did that in 103, and I felt like it didn't go to character. It's just, like, I didn't want to do that, and I came up with this idea of this, you know, whole thing, and it was, like, and because it wasn't even in the outline. I think I changed this in the script stage, so, like, no one knew this was coming, and it's, like, then they read the script, and it was, like, everybody just freaking loved it, and I love all this stuff. And he's just so smarmy.
Oh, my God. Getting to see this side of Xander, it's so creepy.
And I will, you know, the hyper-real, the just subtle way it's shot, it's just, if you go back and watch it a second time, just the angles and the lighting, you can tell it's just a little off.
Yeah.
So you can see when we sort of transition into the fake world.
I didn't have a chance on this show because the schedules are so short. On the series, but a lot of times when I'm working on something, I like to watch it once without any sound and just look at the framing and the editing, and the that can be really instructive.
I love that look. That one we kept.
Yeah, I saw that one.
It's the one of Osborne I had to lose, which I would have liked to have kept too.
And this scene was so fun. So this is like now we're definitely in paranoid thriller territory.
Oh, there were two lines from this episode we're quoting the rest of the season. This is one. Bye, Pilar. It was like whenever Finita would leave set, we'd all go, bye, Pilar.
Oh, my God. That's
I love what Priscilla does here. It's so bitchy and just so dismissive. And the first time you're watching it, and it's like you just don't know, why are they acting like this?
Yeah, it's definitely like a nightmare, you know? It's everybody's nightmare. Suddenly, everyone you think you can trust turns on you.
But it's exactly what you said. I love those paranoid conspiracy thrillers. I mean, there's a reason we called the company Parallax in this. So, and I just think you completely, you know, got that and all this stuff. I love this.
So unlikable.
I know. It's so mean, girl. It's just so great. Yeah, I mean, if you're tuning in for space battles and stuff, this episode is not delivering that at all. There's no Mandalorian in this episode. Now, tell them about this. You know, you had to find a deck.
Yes.
To shoot at.
We were not allowed to shoot on the roof, you know.
Yeah, it was written to be the roof.
Yes, we were not allowed to shoot there. But we found this cool balcony, part of the military academy. And, you know, it was all the usual things, dealing with light and stuff, making sure we were shooting the right time of day.
Yeah, but you forgot to mention, so you found this great location, And it was great on the day you scouted it. On you shot, there was a military parade going by.
Oh, yes. No.
With a brass band and everything in a parade.
I think I blocked that from my memory. Yeah, there was lots of music, and we had to work around the music.
Were you able to keep any of the dialogue, or did you have to loop it all?
We looped almost the entire scene, but we ended up, because Mike is so good here at Private Island, mm-hmm. we ended up saving most of the dialogue because the performance obviously was better in production. There's actually only a few ADR lines in there, which is amazing.
Good job.
Yeah, and I didn't even notice the ADR.
Yeah, it was really good. And you know, again, we've talked about Mike in the past, Mike McDonald, a sound mixer, and just the extraordinary job and the dedication and passion that he brings to it. We're so appreciative. But I think Atanas, our sound mixer on set, was ready to kill himself.
Oh yeah, there was lots of drama.
Well, production sound is never easy.
Yeah, he's a great guy too, because he really cares about the show and works really hard. And so when the sound is going down the toilet in an episode, he really is freaking out.
But props to the actors. Like, she was able to get to this place with the military parade in the background.
You would never know. I mean, how great is Raylan? Okay, this was the line of the season. Okay, I tried to make this a thing. I would just go around and saying, how do you not know who Sarik is?
That moment's so great.
I was like, oh my God. It finally started catching on. I finally got people saying it. Everybody was like, how do you not know who Sarik is?
And was this another case where she was so good that you brought her back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I mean, it was kind of like I wanted to do the thing we did on Librarians where the last episode ties into things we did before.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt like Carla didn't have a lot to do in this episode, and I wanted to bring her back to just so we could see her more. And it was a logical thing because at the end she gets recruited, so why wouldn't she be working for Regan at that point? So.
Well, it also reminds me of, I think it was Prentice's episode on Femme Fatales, where we sort of tie up.
Yeah.
I like when you do that as a writer.
I like doing that, too. It gives heft to the season finale when, all these strands from early in the season sort of
pay dividends. Find out who the smoke monster is.
Plus, what's great, too, is didn't they build the wall for
So we built a fake version of the wall so we could get some angles, like some low angles shooting up at her.
Which is so cool. You know, Rossin, our art director, really came through with that. All season, he was really on fire and just whatever you asked him. Other than the banner in 113, just really did a great job.
Yeah, if you pay attention to her implants, you know, in certain scenes, she's not wearing them. And
we spent so much time on the phone discussing, when is the implant on? When is the implant off?
Yeah.
You know, because, if you watch that, you see it's only illuminated, and when it's not on. So it's like, you know, when does she have it on her neck and when is it off? And, you know.
With that shirt, we wanted something that kind of felt like a straight jacket, and we thought that gave it that kind of vibe.
That's great.
Nice.
I love that. He's so good because he's Sarika, you know, in this VR thing. And it's just, Ben is just the gift that keeps on giving. And look at him snarling and angry and just
stewing.
This to me is like this feels like it could have been a Next Generation episode in a good way. And I like that transition. And this was always a challenge.
She's always getting punched in the face.
Where to go with the Google Glass? Well, that was intentional to have a callback when she gets there. But, because, you know, it's 200 years in the future. It's like, do we do, augmented reality now? And it's like, but it's like we talked about so much in the future, it's not even going to be visible. So you have to do something to suggest it visually.
Well, what I liked about this, what we ended up choosing for this is, she's wearing these glasses. Obviously, they don't have lenses. You know, she's not Pilar who has the actual implants. It's something she wears, so therefore it kind of creates mystery about her background and what her family can afford, and it kind of, in a low-key way, creates a class element, which creates jealousy for her.
I love all that class element that we suggest, too. It's like that, you know, Pilar has the really good implants because she comes from a rich family,
mm-hmm.
and, some of these kids, they don't have a lot of money. Jet can't even afford it. So it's not a Star Trek world where, you know, everyone is there's no money.
There's no money.
And everyone's equal. And this
Utopia.
Is definitely, I think, a more realistic, you know, still sort of stratified class.
I like visually when you see the gang together that they're not all in their school uniforms. You know,
yeah.
They have an individuality to them.
Well, that's why I didn't want to have them in, like, uniforms. And some people say, well, it's a military guy. It's like, well, you know, when they go in, and that's why it's fun when they go into space and they are in the uniforms.
Right.
And it keeps it interesting to the eye as well.
I agree.
Yeah, otherwise, it'd be too. I also thought it would be a barrier to entry if everyone's like in military uniforms, and you know, I mean, it'd make life a lot easier for us in terms of production. Just if, oh well, what are they wearing today? A military uniform. But I much prefer this, and it says a lot about their character. You know what they wear.
She's so great, Rachel.
Look at him. I love this.
It's
I love
so
when he
cute.
Chooses to sit down. And it's shocking to everybody that he's going to, like, join them. And he also is just such a lovely, lovely guy.
And such a nice dresser.
Yes.
Yes, very dapper, very dapper. And inside that cane...
Will it be a laser sword next season?
Well, it was supposed to be, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah,
they couldn't do it.
I kind of like that it isn't.
It was going to be an energy weapon, and the sword was going to... But they couldn't do it in the time that they had to do 112.
I like that it's sort of old school. You know, it's like a classic.
Blade.
Yeah, that the professors have this old school element to them.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love this. It's so, you know, sweet. Just, you know, the friends, you know, they have overcome everything. By sticking together.
Oh, I love it. This is also at the Military Academy. I think it was a different side. I'm not sure if
it was the front.
Or the other.
Yeah, it was the very front when you first pull in the driveway.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, where we film her office is right in that building on the second floor, the Freed's on aisle.
Oh, you don't go to Jupiter to shoot that?
No.
Oh.
Shocking.
Budgets.
And it's so funny because when we did the in 108, you know, Regan's bodyguards, we brought back the same bodyguards from 106.
Oh, right.
For continuity.
So now she doesn't have the glasses, and it's like the school has taken them away when they punished her.
When they expelled her. This always reminded me of that scene in Scarface after he kills Robert Loggia and the other guy thinks he's going to get killed. And he goes, want a job? Sure, Tony, thanks. I love this because it's kind of suggesting, like, you know, he knows more than we think he does.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really protective. And I just like seeing these guys together.
Oh, they're so good together.
Well, and the hint of their history, pre-show mm-hmm. history, is just great.
And it's so cool to see Shrall, like, stepping up and really getting involved for the right thing.
Sic Semper Tyrannis!
I know, you know, a lot of people say, I'm not a big Harry Potter fan, but everybody keeps saying, there's a lot of Harry Potter in this with the teachers, you know.
Sorry,
it's not a bad thing.
He looks like John Wilkes Booth.
Which
is what he shouted.
Okay. I thought you were doing
Harry.
It shows you how illiterate I am.
No, I didn't mean to embarrass you.
The Lincoln assassination, I'm underschooled in, apparently. Or is it theater? I love these little tags that just suggest there's, you know, after we've done a small episode about a personal thing, that, like, there's still this bigger thing that's going on.
So epic.
So.
Well, it's mythology building, you know, which I think is just great.
Well, cool. Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us for episode 106. Really wonderful episode, and it's so great. I actually have never met Jen. We've only talked on the phone.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't in, I was not in Sophia when I was actually back doing post on the first couple episodes. So I had just left after we had started shooting 103 and was back for... to shoot 107, but I just missed 106. So anyway, thank you for joining us today.
Of course,
it's great
to meet in person.
Joe Kramer, well, thank you for another great score. And Penka, of course, who's not here with us.
Thank you, Penka.
But she's with us in spirit. And the soundtrack album will be out in January, so you should check it out, because I'm telling you, I was listening to it. I'm like, this is a great piece of music. I want. What is this from? How do I not know this?
How do you not know it?
I put the whole experience out of my mind. It was one big blur. Anyway, thanks for joining us. Right now, we're going to close the box on Pandora, but you can follow us on social media, on Twitter @PandoraSeries, on Instagram at Pandora Series, at Twitter, it's Series Pandora. I don't know why. They're two different things. And hashtag Pandora CW to find out the latest is Pandora. And we'll see you next time. Thanks.
Thank you.